When I was thinking about the story I could tell, I was at a loss. Then I realized that right now, like Richard Pepin in The Secret History, this is the only story I know how to tell. Perhaps the only story I will ever be able to tell. Rayne Fisher Kwan just published an essay about how much she loves her best friend. Maybe that's why you've been on my mind so much. Maybe it's because you've been dead for 16 months. Maybe it's because you're somewhat always in the back of my mind. I found out you died on the evening of the 12 pubs of Christmas. Your birthday took place only 5 days before. I got a text from a school friend asking if I was doing okay. She had no idea that she was breaking the news to me, that I knew then that you were gone. I can't visit the house I grew up in without seeing you walking up the lane. Maybe it's because it's winter, and when I think of cold, windy walks in the blinding sun, I think of you. I feel like I own this past version of you, and maybe that's the problem. I can't even fathom who you were outside of us. We were inseparable in the way only teenagers are. We were family. It's 10 years this year since the summer we brought sand into our bedrooms every single day for 3 months straight. Since we walked up the road at 6 a.m. and reveled in the glorious silence, imagining a world where it was just us two, and how fucking great that would be. If only everybody else would just leave us alone. I wish you'd lived long enough to hear Salt Circle by Eliza McLam. I don't know what to do with the grief I feel. I visited your grave in September. It's beside the beach we spent summers, winters, eternities on. We used to talk about where we'd like to be buried one day. I always said, at sea. I don't know if I feel that way anymore. You always said something else. 10 years ago, on Christmas Eve, I went to your house. I was the only friend from school who you ever allowed to visit your home, because we were practically neighbors. I knew which one was your window. I still do. You just couldn't shut me out. Walks to your house felt like a pilgrimage. I felt so special. The only one allowed into your inner sanctum. Other friends would ask me what your house was like. I told them it was beautiful. When I have my own home someday, threads of yours will run through it like glitter. Nobody could ever track all the miles we walked together. I was thinking about how, to your later friends, I was probably the bad guy in your story. If I was even spoken about at all. Everything is the end of the fucking world when you're 17. Had I ever really known you at all? I think so. Your inability to tell the truth about almost anything taught me a lot, looking back. You made me feel beautiful and funny and jealous and angry and small. Always so very small. When we went walking on the clifftops that summer, something you said stuck in my mind. We were at that very edge, with loose stones falling hundreds of meters into the churning water below. Every step was calculated, because it was impossible to tell where the brush ended and the rocks began. One slip, and that's it, you said. I had no idea just how right you were. I'm so glad I never let you cut my hair. I thought we would reconnect when you stopped being so angry at the world, and when I stopped feeling so hurt. When it all stopped being so bloody and raw. Maybe we would have reunited at 60, with grey hair and Botox and boob jobs, and rich husbands. Always with the rich husbands. It's funny now that we thought grey hair meant old. I'm 27 now, and sprout more greys every single day. I wish I could have seen you with some, You probably have hated it though. When you lashed out, I wish I'd known that it was nothing at all to do with me. I was just the closest thing you had to a therapist, a punching bag, a sister. The person you could never push away successfully. Until you did. I don't often want to contemplate that. All I want to remember is before, before, before. You styled my hair and I did your makeup and we danced so, so much. In my kitchen, on top of cliffs, in your living room. Playing the same songs on repeat again and again and again. I will think of you when I make pancakes, when I drink white coffee, or when I visit our beach. I hear the opening notes of a song we used to sing, and I am 17 years old again on the bathroom floor, crying my eyes out with badly painted toenails and a gap between my thighs. You're forever a waif with hints of orange in your eyes. A piece of pale green sea glass on a necklace I will keep forever. A camera-shaped mug thick with layers of dust. A rag doll you made for an art project when we were 13. All the proof I have that you were real. I'll never escape you. Not really. Maybe I don't want to. There's a book I lent to a boyfriend in 2015 called Eleanor and Park. I have a line from it scrawled haphazardly in Sharpie on my purple bedroom wall. The me that's me right now is yours, always. I saw your mum this past Christmas. Afterwards, I went to the bathroom and cried. It was so good to talk to someone who knew you like I did. She said she found a photo of us together in your bedroom. We couldn't have been more than 14. When we hugged, it felt like she put me back together. I didn't know how much I needed that. You were never one for emotional declarations, but wherever you are, I hope that it's pretty. And I hope that I see you again.